Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
I'm reading from Judges chapter 7, and today I'm beginning a series for the next three services. See it. Everybody say, see it.
See it.
Say it.
Say it.
And seize it.
Seize.
One more time. See it.
Say it,
say it, and seize it. Go to Judges chapter 7, verse 9. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go," in other words, if you think I'm a liar, God is saying, "then I'm going to help you with your doubt. Go down to the camp, the enemy's camp, with Purah, your servant. And you shall hear what they say about you. And afterward, your hands will be strengthened to go down against the camp." He went down to the pier with his servant to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites, the Amalekites, the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as the locusts. Their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in the multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He's eavesdropping on the enemy's camp. And he said, "I have a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent, struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." Then his companion answered and said, "I know what this is. This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, into his hand. God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into our hand." I'll stop there. But I want you to see this story in a way that I believe God really wants you to get. I got an important message today. The promise of God is what we want. When God gives you a promise, he gave Gideon a promise. "I have given the enemy into your hand." They were so greatly outnumbered. He only had 300 men. And God said, "You're going to defeat them." But he did not have enough with the promise alone to, his faith didn't believe. He just said, "We're outnumbered, we're outmaneuvered, there's no way we can defeat them." And God said, "Okay. The promise is not enough for you." See, the promises that God gives you are not self-fulfilling all the time. God gave the children of Israel amazing promises. They were pregnant with promises, but they never entered into the promised land. So it's not a matter of whether or not God has made you promises, because just because you have promises and you found them in the Word of God does not mean you'll enter into those, the fulfillment of those promises. There is something that has to happen to provoke your faith. You see, a promise from God is just a revelation of God's divine intentions in your life. God will give you a promise and he'll show you in the scripture his divine intentions. And God says, "This is what I plan to do. Now, what do you plan to do?" We need more than a promise. The key is to make the promise into a picture. That's why God said to Gideon, "I promise you I'm going to deliver them into your hand. But if you don't believe what I'm telling you, if you think I'm lying, if you think I'm not able to do what I'm telling you I'm going to do in your life, then I want you to go down and I want you to listen to what the enemy is saying, and you will get a picture in your mind and in your heart of seeing yourself completely having victory over the situation that I promised you I would give you." It wasn't until Gideon, who was behind the rock hiding, and he heard the enemy talking, saying, "I'm telling you, I saw in a dream a cupcake roll down the hill and wipe us out." And the other guy says, I know what that cupcake is. That cupcake is Gideon. And Gideon is hiding and he hears it and snap, he gets a picture. God had told him he was going to be victorious, but he didn't believe it. It wasn't until he got a picture of his victory, of his future, of what he was going to do and how God was going to use him that he believed it. And that's why he began to worship. It wasn't till after he got the picture that he started worshiping. He said, I can see it. And the first part of this message is see it. You're going to have to see it, you're going to have to say it, and you're going to have to seize it. That's what I'm preaching on. See it. But you will never possess the promise of God until you see it. If you see it, then God can bring it to pass. God gave Gideon the promise, but if the promise doesn't provoke a picture in you, it'll never come to pass. I'm telling you, God made us visual. If I say horse, you see a horse. If I say cat, you see a cat. If I say dog, you see a dog. Just the moment I say it. If I say polka dotted something, you see polka dots. If I say zebra, you see a black and white horse. And God is saying sometimes a promise is not enough. You have to get a picture. As a matter of fact, every time, the dream and the interpretation was the picture. And when he got the picture, what he didn't respond to when God gave him a promise, he did respond to the picture. He started worshiping. He ran back to the camp and said, get everybody, get up. We're going to defeat the Midianites. What had changed? God had told him and he didn't get excited and do all that when he got a picture of his future. When he understood, I'm the cupcake. I'm the one. And he saw it. Before it was ever manifest outwardly, he had a picture of it inwardly. Everything changed. You're closer than your miracle. You're closer to your miracle than you realize. You're a picture away from the performance of the promise. Gideon breaks out into worship. Why? Because when he had the promise, he still wasn't convinced. But when he had the picture convinced him. If you can see it, you can have it. If you can see it, God can do it. If you can see it, it can become a reality. But you've got to see a picture. If you can see yourself free, if you can see yourself healthy, if you can see yourself successful, if you can see, and how do? That? You get promises from God's word. He begins to renew your mind and you don't see yourself as a failure. You don't see yourself as an addict. You don't see yourself as a loser. You don't see yourself as a nobody headed nowhere doing nothing. But when you get filled with the promises, the next thing God will do is he will turn it into a picture of who you really are. And if you can see it, see yourself blessed, see yourself prosperous, it can change your life. Without a vision, people perish. One translation said, without a vision, people lose all restraint. You want to know why people go crazy and become drug addicts and young people go out and live crazy and get drunk and all that? They don't know where they're going. Because when you know that you've got a goal and a vision for your life, all those things are distractions. Jack Nicklaus, the great master golfer who's won every championship you can imagine, was asked one time, how did you win so many golf championships? Listen to this, young people, listen. He said, I see every shot I take in my mind before my body gets involved. I see every shot in practice, and when I get ready to address the ball where I want it to go, my mind lets the pitcher govern my body's response. If your mind can be persuaded by a picture, then your body begins to respond. Let the picture develop in your mind. And usually pictures have to be developed in dark rooms. And it's when you get in darkness that God will begin to develop the picture of who you really are. When God told me to come to Free Chapel 25 years ago, and I pulled up to the first service, I had a picture inside of me that God had put for this church. And I did not see that church struggling. I did not see that church half empty. I did not see that church remaining small. I did not see it. I was so blinded with vision that when I walked in, I look back on it now. I don't know if I would have that faith now, but God gave me more than a promise. He gave me a picture. And I saw it. I remember when God started calling me to preach, I would hear anointed preachers preach, and I would see me doing it. I was sitting out there like you, but the anointing would get on me, and I would be afraid of what I would feel, but I could see it. I could see me preaching on television. I'm sorry, I'm just going to tell it like I saw these cameras before you see these cameras. I saw this church before. Come on, church. He'll give you a picture. I saw myself blessed. I saw myself winning. I saw myself overcoming. I saw myself having a beautiful family. I saw myself finding me a beautiful wife, and that's why I didn't date everything out there on two legs. You gotta get a picture. What are you seeing? Well, I just kinda let life hit me. It's gonna hit you. Your mind is important. Once it's in my mind, my body aligns to the picture. That's why praise is so important, because really what praise is your body responding to the picture on the inside, which explains why some of you don't do much of it. Because what's on the inside of you is you're expecting nothing. You're believing for nothing. You're seeing nothing. You're taking it as it comes. And God says, I have a plan for the rest of your life. And it's good. And all some of you see is failure and hurt and depression and disaster and bad things. And I'm going to tell you, whatsoever things are good and pure and just and lovely, and if there be any prayer, you've got to get the promise and turn it into a picture and say, I don't see me broke. I don't see me struggling. I don't see me a loser. I don't see me hopeless. And I don't see me lonely. I don't see me checking into the old folks' home and nobody loving me. I see me blessed all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me everywhere I go. I see it, I say it, and I seize it. Come on and clap your hands and believe God. Let your body respond to what you see. The children of Israel, see, your life will always move in the direction of the dominant picture you allow to reside in your mind. So if you see, it's probably going to get worse. We're struggling now, but it's even going to get worse. I don't see that when I read the scriptures. I see the scriptures saying, you'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the field, and I will make a way, and I will take care of you. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen. It's going to be, God is for me. Well, you got to get a picture of that. God is for me. Sometimes you feel like Naomi. I'm just forsaken, and oh, bitterness is set up in my heart because life has been a big deal. God is for me. And if you ever get that picture, God is for me. The children of Israel, God said to the children of Israel, go into the promised land, just send 12 spies, let them take pictures and bring back some grapes. Basically what he was saying is bring back grapes, show everybody. I want it to move from a promise to a picture. And they were supposed to come back and they were supposed to say, my God, look at these grapes. And the Bible said the grapes were the size of watermelons. But instead they came back talking about the size of the giants. And that's the picture they had in their mind. We listen to the picture. We're grasshoppers, they're giants. They should have come back seeing the picture. There's grapes, and God said that we can do it, and God's bigger than the giants. The picture matters. That's why God said to Abraham, Abraham, I know you're an old man, and I know your wife thinks you had a senior moment when you told her she was going to get pregnant because she's an old woman. But Abraham, if you don't believe my promise, go out and look at the sand, and I'll give you a daylight vision. And as the sands of the seashore, so shall your children be. I want you to, every time you see the sand, I want you to get a picture of your family. And if it gets dark, then I want you to look up and see the stars. I want to give you a nighttime vision so that when it really gets dark and when the stars twinkle and you see them by the billions and millions, he said, when you see the stars, think as the stars of heaven, so shall your seed be. Because you won't believe what I tell you in the promise until you get a picture. And we started seeing it, and I can almost hear him sing, zippity-zoo-da. Come on, Sarah, we're going back here, and we're gonna make a baby. But he had to see it. I'm concerned that a generation of young people are coming up and they don't have a clue. And the deal is, you got to get into these promises. Because if you get in good services like this, the anointing of God will begin to mess with your destiny and will begin to bring up to surface the promises of God over your life and the purposes of God. But then the purpose has to become a picture. I want to throw this in. Jesus was about to call Peter into the ministry. Listen, this is powerful. But he had just come in from fishing all night and caught nothing. And Jesus was about to tell him, follow me and you'll become fishers of men. But what would have been the picture in his mind? Empty nets. Well, let me go out and I'll preach the gospel. I might catch one struggling little fish in my net. I'm not going to catch much. No, Jesus said, before I call him into the ministry to be fishers of men, I'm going to get a picture in his brain of what kind of fisherman he's going to be. Come on out in the boat with me and cast it on the other side. And the Bible said the net began to break, the boat began to sink. Then he comes in and immediately Jesus turns to him and says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And he didn't have a picture of struggling. He had a picture of overflow. I'm almost through. Y'all getting anything out of this? You know, have you ever tried to explain something to your children and they just, you told them in words, but they just didn't get it? And you finally get frustrated and you say, what do I have to do? Draw you a picture? Clean your room up. Do I have to draw you a picture? I think that's how Jesus feels. I give you the promise, but if you won't get the promise, what do I have to do to tell you I'm for you? I love you with an everlasting love. Don't you get the picture? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Don't you get the picture? No weapon formed against you will ultimately prosper. Don't you get the picture? Greater is he that's in you. And don't give up because I'm for you. I'm for you. Don't you get the picture? Albert Einstein said, imagination is much greater than knowledge. Knowledge is about facts. But imagination is greater than knowledge. Why? For if you can see it in your mind, your imagination can take you beyond the facts. That's what happened to that woman with the issue of blood. The facts said, the knowledge of her day said, you have a blood disease and you've spent all your money and you will never get better. But she got a picture in her mind, if I can but touch the hem, if I can touch the hem, I see myself touching the hem of his garment, and if I can do it, I'll release my faith. It's the point of contact. And I'll get healed. And you know what? She got it. She went beyond knowledge. She went beyond facts. And facts may tell you you shouldn't believe. Facts may tell you you can't build a successful business. Facts and knowledge may tell you that odds are against you and you're not educated enough and you're not talented enough and you're not smart enough and you're not a big shot and you don't have any connections and you don't have any back end, blah, 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 blah. But if you can get the picture from God, you can say to all those talented people, move over. All those people that are much more qualified, move over, move over. Because there's something about a person who gets a picture from God. Whew. Boy, I wish I could put this in a needle and shoot it up in you. Some of you have had the other stuff shot up in you. You need some of this. You don't know why you always getting drunk and slipping up and falling into adultery and mess. It's because you're not full of the promises of God. This is the most, you know what happens to people? They get bored. They get bored with life. But when you get promises and they become a picture, you get a vision for your future. The picture was in her mind, and it took her beyond the facts and knowledge. I'm saying to you today that if you see it, the next thing, and I'm going to talk about it Wednesday and next Sunday, you say it and you can seize it. If you get a picture, your emotions will explode. Let me give you a picture. Watch this. Let's say Drake and I were driving down the road this week, and he turned to me and he looked at the billboard and it said $133 million lottery. He said, Dad, what would you do if you won that? And you know, the thought hit me when I went back home. What would I do? Would you give it back, preacher, because she slipped? No, I would not. I wouldn't buy the ticket, first of all. Let me be clear. But if Drake got it and they called me on a Saturday night at 11:45 and said, you have just won $133 million, I wouldn't go, praise the Lord. My body would explode off the picture. Then I'd write my tithe check and come to church next Sunday, that next morning. That's exactly what I would do, number one. So get this. That picture, it hadn't happened yet. Just the picture makes your body explode. I mean, you'd have curlers in your hair, mud on your face. You'd run down the street in your underwear, say, I won $133 million. And you sit in church. I want to tell you something. You didn't just win a trip to Hawaii. You won a trip to New Jerusalem. You're going to a city where there's no pain, no death, no suffering, no sickness, no temptations, no sin, no devil, no tears, no crying, no parting, no burdens, no bills, no depression, no fear. Everybody take a praise break right now and shout like you were on streets of gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.